Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of the show, he's back, Dr. Joel Schultz. And no, he needs no introduction. We've been covering his stuff on from Police One for, golly, the last 9 years, and some great stuff. Also, Chief Chris Noller from Pueblo Police Department in Colorado, and he's been all over the news lately. Also, Captain Brett Bartlett, and he's the founder of Exumber Defense Solutions at ExumberDefense.com. So we've got a lot of law enforcement experience here, guys. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com. We also have Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we are wrapping up our third week on satellite radio. Also, GunLearner.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we are streaming right now to pages with 1.5 million followers right now. We also have two bells. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. Check out our cool gear. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafe.com, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Let me whet the appetite with some of these stories. We got a former New York State trooper. He pleads guilty to faking his own shooting. It kills me they have to cover this because, you know, there were some bad cops out there, and this guy got, you know, they found him out, and wait till you to hear what he's got to pay. And then we got a body cam dash cam footage. It clears a Jones County sergeant in the fatal shooting of an armed man after pursuit. I don't know why they're talking about clearing the sergeant. The shoot was completely good. He saved another cop's life. Then we got Concord suspect. He is charged with attempted murder after he shot at when he points a gun at police officers. And then we've got an exclusive Belmont officer is charged with rape. He had a 2017 domestic violence arrest. Other agencies told this agency not to hire him. They did it anyhow. And oh, by the way, he was not a U.S. citizen. He had a work permit. I've been holding the story. I'm hoping to get to this one today. Then we've got Vancouver police officers. They stop a suspect from stabbing his dog during an arrest. That's a pretty wild one. And then we got Bradenton police officer injured after being dragged by a car during a traffic stop. So we'll get to these, assuming that we have time to get to everything. But if you guys are ready, let's go in. And we can take anything out of order too, guys. But I definitely want to cover the one about the cop that had the DV history. And that was not legal. Definitely want to cover that. And the dog, the taser, the dog, and the dog. If the dog got shot and killed or stabbed, I wouldn't cover it. But it's a happy ending. So let's go ahead and get started here. Yes, on this one, Fox8.com, former New York State trooper pleads guilty to faking his own shooting. I would imagine by now that most of us either have worked with guys or know guys that or of guys that have done this. I mean, even Brett and I have a story that's kind of close to home in Tampa. So Manola, New York, former New York State police trooper pled guilty on Wednesday to the charges that he shot himself. And then he falsely claimed that he was wounded by an unknown gunman on a Long Island highway, prompting a region-wide search. Man, they had cops looking for this suspected bad guy. What, for days, right? Thomas Massia agreed to serve 6 months in jail. Then he's going to do 5 months probation and then continue by mental health treatment as he's formally changed his not guilty plea in court, to a plea deal. So he agreed as part of his plea deal, he's going to have to pay $289,000 in restitution for the overtime costs for all the cops that had to work this 3-day search for a non-existent suspect. And the West Hempstead resident had been charged with official misconduct, tampering with evidence, and falsifying documents. So, yeah, it gets even worse. He became a trooper back in 2019, and he resigned after they suspended him without pay. And then they launched the criminal investigation. He goes on to say that even his parents, Dorothy Massia and Thomas Massia, they also pled guilty on Wednesday to firearm charges that were related to the incident. It doesn't say exactly what happened, but and if memory serves me correct, it's almost like I remember maybe the cops going to get a gun out of the house, and maybe they had been involved with like hiding it or something, if I remember correctly, but that's not in the article. Massey claimed that he was shot in the leg on October 30th by a driver that was parked on the shoulder of the Southern State Parkway that was about a mile from his home. And the shooting prompted a massive search. The trooper said the suspect he claimed was a dark-skinned guy fled in a car bearing temporary New Jersey plates headed towards New York City. And instead, Prosecutors say this guy shot himself in a local park. Then he stashes the gun, drives to the highway, and calls for backup. And then they say the ruse was an apparent bid to gain attention and sympathy. So, yeah, this guy's a piece of work. Even his attorney, Jeff Lichtman, previously said the former trooper who resigned in January that he's been suffering from an untreated mental health issue for years. You don't say. Commentary on this one, guys. Curious what you guys think. Captain Bartlett.
Well, this is going to be very unscientific, but I think what has happened is his cheese has slid off of his cracker. And there was something deep-seated in his brain that made him crave this attention, even on the point of something so horribly bold. And like you mentioned, Chip, we had something like that in Tampa, got to be 35 years ago. Tampa police officer faked his own shooting. And for whatever reason, he picked a yellow International Harvester truck as the bad guy truck. And for days, and apparently there were a lot of them, we were yanking people out of those trucks because we thought they had shot an officer. This is way back before, you know, certain things were implemented. And he lied about the whole thing. Of course, they fired him. Never found out why he did it. I don't think they cared back then, but they fired him. There's just something, his brain is seeking something that he wasn't getting.
Brett, if you ever get the urge to do that, And you don't have the courage to shoot yourself, call me up. I can help you out with that. I'll make it, you know, like leg, sure, hand, sure, something like that.
You're always there for me, Chip. I know I can count on, yeah, you. I have your address, you know.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, just stay away from my wife, please. Then we'll be good. Chief Noller.
I think it's just sad. I mean, it makes me wonder what the psychological found out in the hiring process. And how, I mean, somebody could this quickly, because we're talking 6 years from now. I don't know exactly when this incident happened. So it wasn't like he was hired 25 years ago and, you know, had all kinds of other stuff happen in his life leading up to this. I'd be curious to see what the psychological showed on the hiring process, and whether they overlooked something or they were in a rush to hire people. Maybe if that was part of the process, I don't know.
Well, Chief Noller, you know, we happen to have a doctor on the show, so maybe we can find out. Dr. Joel Schultz.
I don't think it's a mental illness issue. I think the guy just had a girlfriend, and that just does things.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, he was trying to impress her with some kind of war story. And, you know, it's kind of out of the Munchausen tradition, where the ancient German baron made up these tall tales to impress people. And there is something about not having one great war story to tell, which maybe he didn't. And I remember, you know, when I was a rookie and I was the PR guy, and I would go to the classrooms and they'd say, well, did you ever shoot anybody? And I'm like, no, you know, like I don't have that story. So it's too bad.
What is it that every time a guy takes a fall, there's usually a woman involved? And you remember that guy Resendez or something, Brett's looking like I'm talking about a dude in the room with him, you know, but, you remember he ended up getting on crack cocaine, and he was dating a girl, a street girl on Harrisburg Avenue. And she introduced him, you know, she was a prostitute, but a street level, which is like, you know, not that I condone any of that, but you know, this is not a chick working in the hotels, you know, the high end stuff. This is a girl that's doing high turnover rate at these little hotel motels on Hillsborough Avenue, but she introduced him to crack cocaine, and it ruined his whole career. And then if you get alcohol involved, women and alcohol, it's even worse. Brett can attest to that.
You know, if we had the ability to tell an attractive young lady, listen, come see me in 15 years, I'm going to go ahead and make my fortune and then call me up. Let's see how it works. But we can't, because certain powers are involved in the decision. You know, I'm a victim of it. I cry at night because I'm a victim.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry I hit so close to home. But anyhow, great. You know, it really is a sad story the way of guys doing this. And we all get that.
And maybe in case my oppressor walks in behind me, then you'll know why that I'm so beat down.
We'll know why. All right. Well, look, moving ahead, let's jump to a story with a video component, if that's okay, gentlemen. And, you know, just because I just want to make sure that we cover this one story, I'm going to go ahead and go with the dog story, because I've been wanting to cover this and we haven't covered it yet. And the only thing I want to point out, I apologize in advance because Chief Schultz has already told me that he would have shot the dog. And I know we have a lot of dog lovers. So just in case, I don't know, he may have changed his opinion on this. I don't know. I just wanted to warn Chief Schultz. Did you want to take up for yourself before I start the story?
No, let me turn off my camera and block my email address.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And look, if you're listening to the show audibly, stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. We appreciate them doing that. We'll describe in great detail what's going on. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable the very next day, because Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock Eastern time in the morning, producer Will puts up a special version of the live show after he embeds every video that we talk about into it. It's a great way, a great option. Vancouver police officer stops suspect from stabbing his dog during an arrest.
You had to 83,
he's trying to run.
No, my dog's not going hey. To town. My dog's not going to
town. Yeah, he's running into traffic.
Stop now.
Get on the ground. With you, but you gotta sit down.
Sit down.
Sit down.
There you go.
There we go. Shoot my dog. If you aren't going to touch, she dies today.
No.
You know what I'm doing with you.
Hey, don't.
Hey,
don't.
Don't hurt your dog.
Oh, no, taser, you go less lethal. Taser, if you don't put that down. Hands behind your back now! Code 3. Hands behind your back, you're gonna get tased again! Roll over, put your hands behind your back! AMR, we got a taser deployment. Hands behind your back now! Hands behind your back or you're gonna get tased!
Put your hands behind your back, hold your dog down!
Same thing, yep.
So yeah, we're in Washington, and police of Vancouver rescued a dog after its owner tried to stab it before being arrested. So Vancouver police officers, they're in the Meadow Homes neighborhood, and they go there to arrest this guy. He's wanted a multiple warrants. So when they approach the guy on the side of the road, he picks up his dog. It looks like a pit bull mix, and he runs across multiple lanes of traffic trying to escape. The officers continue to advance on him. They said the dog had been acting, well, they said it started acting aggressively towards him, but the guy gets to the other side of the road, makes it past traffic. He trips over the curb and goes down, but he's still holding the dog. And yeah, the dog's acting aggressive because, you know, the cops are, you know, they're tasering the bad guy, and the dog's lunging and snarling at the officers. So they continue to shout the suspect, telling him to surrender. And then the suspect pulls out a knife and he tries to stab his own dog. And before he's able to injure the dog, an officer fires his taser. It makes good contact with the suspect, causing him to drop the knife. Now, we're coming up on our commercial break, guys, and I'm going to leave off there, and I will finish this when we come back. Yes, I'm trying to, I'm not clickbaiting you guys. I'm just trying to make you guys stick around until after the commercial. But look, it's a great story. You're going to love the ending. Stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can get our gear from just about anywhere, and especially if we're looking online. But I want to remind you guys about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they also walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, support our title sponsor and go to Gauls at Gauls.com. And for the loyal listeners of the show, here's what they're going to do. They're going to give you a radio code. It's called Radio 15. That gets you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com until June the 31st. Again, Radio 15 is all you have to type in. And they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends. And that is all at Gauls.com. I mean, we're giving away 2 gift cards every week on the show as well, so make sure you keep watching the show. Gauls.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. So look, we left off talking about a pretty interesting story. I'm going to give you guys the title again. It's Vancouver police officers. They stop a suspect from stabbing his dog during an arrest. So what we have is we have these cops that are chasing this bad guy, and he's running across a street. It looks like a pit bull mix, crosses the street, carrying the dog. Then he falls down on the ground when he trips over the curb. And then he takes out a knife and he's getting ready to start trying to stab his dog, believe it or not. And the cop ends up warning him, and then he tases the guy before he is able to stab the dog. Taser works beautiful. Guy locks up, drops the knife, and now the dog's kind of freaking out. The dog's obviously in distress. There's a cop that is close to the dog, and he's trying to basically get the lead, get the leash on the dog, and take custody of the dog to get the dog away from it. So they can go 10-15 with the bad guy. Dog goes after the cop. Now, look, I know a lot of cops that would have shot this dog, and the guy and the cop would be justified. This cop was cool, calm, collected. He had gloves on, did not have a sidearm out, taser, nothing out. This is not the cop that tasered the bad guy. This is another cop. He had his hands out. He obviously knew how to handle dogs. He did not get bit, but he very easily could have. And so the video ends. It's a short clip, but it ends with all of a sudden comes back up. Bad guy's carrying the dog now, and they allow him to put it in the back seat of a cruiser before they take him to jail. So he goes from trying to hurt his own dog to, you know, to taking him and putting him in the back of a cruiser. Dog goes to animal control. This guy ends up getting booked in the jail, and he had outstanding warrants on him and all that good stuff. So it was a good ending. So I'm curious what you guys think. I love stories like this because I don't like to cover, you know, animal shootings and stuff. Chief Noller.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things to take away from this. Number one, those officers did an incredible job under some pretty tense circumstances. I mean, the guy that you were talking about that the dog lunged at, I don't know how he didn't get bit several times by that dog, but he didn't. I think this is also showcases, you know, on shows like this and other shows, you see all the incidences where officers have to use force, and oftentimes the ones we're talking about are where deadly force is used. But this is a circumstance right here where deadly force could have been used when he pulls that gun out or that knife out, excuse me. When the dog came at the officer, they could have used lethal force against the dog. But the officers, and this happens hundreds of times a day throughout the country, they don't use that force. They maintain calm. They're able to sometimes de-escalate these situations to the point where this guy, who's obviously have some mental illness, aspects to his problems, they get him to put the dog in the car. I'm sure the dog at some point went to animal control. They talked to the guy about how he could pick the dog up after he got released, and were able to de-escalate the situation. And this happens probably 20 times for every one use of lethal force. This happens 20 times where officers work themselves through a problem and don't have to use force, and they never get any of the credit for doing that. And so I think this shows a lot of different things. I mean, I might've pepper sprayed the dog at least, but, cause I was like, ooh, gee whiz, when the dog lunged at that guy, I'm like, no way. So that was pretty scary, but I give kudos to those cops. They did a great job.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Chief, because you're right. You know, in a lot of the videos where tasers are used and they're not successfully deployed, there's a lot of positive taser deployments. And just like you said, for every dog shoot, that's what people see. That's what makes the video. But they don't show stuff like this to where, we don't want to have to be in this situation. And look, every cop has been in a situation where we could have used lethal, but we didn't. And whether it's your gut instinct or whatever, you know. So I love this video. I love that it shows the human, it shows the human side of it, but also, in a good way. I mean, we're flawed as humans, don't get me wrong, but we life is a precious thing and we get it. So thanks for covering this, guys. Good coverage on this. If you guys are ready, we'll go to our next one here. And, you know, I'm going to go to video number one, also at rumble.com on our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Body cam and dash cam footage, it clears a Jones County sergeant in the fatal shooting of an armed guy after pursuit.
The park is closed, man.
I don't give a shit if the park is purple, brother. Go do something else, please.
Listen to me.
Dude, listen to me, man. You are not a law officer. You're a fake. You understand I can citizens arrest you right now? Do you understand that? You understand that? If you're not sworn...
Subject.
If you're not sworn, I could arrest you right now, buddy.
No, it doesn't work like that, okay? Stop. Just stop. Stop the car. Stop the...
Thank you.
said, we're in Macon, Georgia. Yes, I'm very familiar. Been there many times. The Putnam County Sheriff's Office releases body cam and dash cam. The moments leading up to a dangerous confrontation between a Jones County Sheriff's Office deputy and a 54-year-old bad guy named Ronald Evans. So our cop is Sergeant Travis Walker. He's a 12-year officer in Jones County. He shot Evans six times on Friday morning in the parking lot of a C&J supermarket. Now, Deputy Richard Langston, he's another deputy. He came actually to assist Sergeant Walker, who originally pulled over a bad guy named Evans in the South Jones County Rec Center parking lot before a chase ensued. And I just remember the bad guy, you know, upon walking up, he keeps saying, are you sworn? Are you sworn? Are you sworn? Are you sworn? Thinking that this guy is not a sworn deputy, and he's in a marked unit. He's a sergeant. But I never heard the deputy say that he was sworn either. But anyhow, the bad guy takes off, and now he's running. And even, it doesn't say in the article, but even we have some little bumpity bump stuff going on. The backup deputy pulls in front and tries to do a, like a rolling roadblock, you know, and they, it sounded like they made contact in the front. And then our original deputy sergeant, you know, he ends up giving the guy a couple love taps during the pursuit. But the guy eventually pulls into another parking lot. And then we have Deputy Langston, our backup deputy. He grabs some spike strips and he's trying to roll to run up there on foot from the front of the car, the bad guy's car, with spike strips to prevent him from being able to get away without, you know, making the tires go flat. While he's doing that, bad guy's getting out of the car and he's got a gun. Apparently, Deputy Langston with the spike strips never notices, well, at least at first, that the bad guy's got a gun and pointed at him. And then I hear a shot fired. I thought it was the bad guy shooting at the deputy running up with the spike strips. But the article says that it was our original deputy, the sergeant, Travis Walker, firing shots, basically saving Langston, who the bad guy had already had the drop on. And anyhow, so that's the way that it went down. And then there's a big shootout. And we have the Jones County Sheriff, Butch Reese, you know, weighing in as well. But a we're 30 seconds out from being able to go to the commercial break, at least anyhow. So you guys are going to have to hold the commentary. I apologize, but we're going for our second commercial break, guys. This is about you're going to have fun of this commentary. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention and retransitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, it virtually eliminates weapons confusion. Now, you can stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. And you can go to Compliant Technologies right now and tell them that Chip sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. And if you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure documents into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. And the chief's holding up the book. And so you guys really need to check out Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com and sign up for one of their free weekly webinars. And Attorney Anthony Bandiero is the lead guy. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, we left off talking about a story with a video component about a, we have a sergeant and then a backup deputy. They're involved in a fatal shooting of an armed bad guy. I know that the sergeant stops this guy at a recreational park after hours, and the guy starts off accusing this sergeant of not being a real sworn deputy and takes off in his car, and the chase is on. So after some bumps and attempted, I wouldn't really say a pit, but they're just trying to get the guy to stop. He pulls into a parking lot, and then we have the backup deputy running up with a tire deflation device, and he's trying to show up with the spike strips, but the lights and stuff are kind of blinding him. He doesn't see the bad guy get out with a gun pointed at him, and so our original deputy, that's a sergeant, starts lighting the bad guy up, and then there's a big shootout and stuff. And arguably, Our sergeant saves the deputy's life that had really run up on the bad guy with the spike strips in his hand. And you know, there was a fatal shooting. That's the way that it ends. So commentary on this, guys. I'm curious to hear what you guys think. Brett, you want to start us off?
And this was the guy in the Jeep, right, Chip, before I...
That is correct. The guy, the bad guy, was in a black Jeep. It's kind of given the Jeep. Well, you know what? Jeep gave themselves their bad name, not this bad guy. Brett's always critical.
Well, first, I was thinking, wow, I'm actually seeing a Jeep product that's not being towed away from somewhere. So that was kind of interesting. But I went right to the end of it, and I thought a couple of things. You know, it's a bad guy with a gun. The police happen to do business. But it was interesting. The guy got out of the Jeep. He still had a cigarette in his mouth. And I've never seen this before in any of our videos, but I actually saw a wound appear on that guy's back. I actually saw it appear. Usually you don't really see that in these videos. You know, the guy gets shot and down he goes. And I don't know if it was the guy in the front shooting through and it was a through and through, or he got shot by the other officer, but it actually appeared. I thought that was noteworthy because we've never seen that. At least I have.
Interesting. Other commentary, anybody else, guys? Chief Noller?
You know, I was kind of confused at first what that guy, the officer that passed in the pursuit, was trying to do. I wasn't sure if they were trying to do a rolling roadblock or what they were trying to do. But I think he was the one trying to get up ahead to do the spike strips. Is that your take on that, Chip?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to tell from the back because, you know, our sergeant was driving with the dash cam. But when the deputy went up in front, I believe I heard contact and then the swerve happened, but it sounded like they actually made contact. The rear of the cruiser made contact with the front of the bad guy's Jeep is what it sounded and looked like to me. And then he just kind of disappeared until they showed up and until he stopped the car in the parking lot, you know? So, but I think that, you know, there is a lot of points to where once they're stopped, there are some agencies that are training their guys now put deflation devices at the front and the rear of the car, especially if you're up close and personal in the rear end, put it in the front or vice versa, you know, just so we can make sure this, you know, the tires get deflated if he takes off again and we don't have a long pursuit. But I think that he was, you know, I suspect they're not trained to do rolling roadblocks, and I suspect they're not trained to do pits, to be honest with you, because it was not impressive. Whatever the stuff they were doing, it's almost like they're watching, you know, some too much TV, and that was their training, you know. But anyhow, I'm glad the cops didn't get hurt. So,
I wanted to comment last because I didn't want to cut off Captain Bartlett like I did during the break. I feel like there would be some repercussions for that. You know, a couple of things. First of all, this is the second one-legged suspect this week.
You noticed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chip. So I don't know if that's just a thing that you're hung up on right now in your condition or not. and I'm not an anti-Jeep person, but if you can't pit a Jeep at 35 miles an hour, you know, come on, don't even try. There, I thought it was very interesting, you know, when you have a slow pursuit, that's a red flag. What is he concentrating on besides escape that causes him to use caution and slow down? He even made a full stop at the stop sign, used his blinker before heading on. So that was just all some crazy stuff. I will say for that sergeant, man, he was a sergeant's sergeant. He took care of business. He protected his officer. And, you know, as Chief Noller kind of alluded to with the compassion about the dog case, every one of these things that I see where you've shot somebody or hit him with a car as a suspect, the officer may be struggling. They may have been shot. You know, they may have other people that they're worried about, but they always say, take care of the bad guy, get a tourniquet on him, get EMS. Just it amazes me. You know, they checked the vehicle for others in there. He was he's asking his officers, are you okay? Oh, you're okay. So I just thought he was doing a great job of doing what he needed to do. I'll add this little asterisk. Anytime somebody's involved in a critical incident with a shooting like that, every officer needs to have medical attention. You don't know if you've been shot under those circumstances. You don't know if your pulse rate and your respiration and your blood pressures is going to be out of control. So, you know, we know the obvious wounded need care, but everybody needs to be checked out.
You know, I'd like to add on to what Dr. Schultz said about the treatment of the suspects. That, again, is something I think needs to be included in training. When we do force on force training, what we do is we don't just stop once the suspect goes down. You know, we put together a tactical plan. We have shields in our sergeant's cars. We make an approach. We try to do, you know, at least a pretend in a scenario, medical treatment, calling the ambulance in. And what we found over the years is now that is second nature to our cops. It's not something that has to be thought about. Somebody on scene is usually saying, hey, let's get a team together. Let's get a shield. Let's approach the guy. Let's grab a medical bag. They go up there, they put tourniquets on them if they can. Depending on the wounds, they are calling for an ambulance, and it really changes the game because of a couple things. I mean, our job is to protect people, and whether that's the bad guys or the citizens we protect, you know, we serve, it's got to be the same. And when you have officers standing around after a suspect has been shot and they're not even attempting to do medical treatment, I mean, it just sets you up to look like you don't care, sets you up to look like that's just part of the plan, let them bleed out and die. And it just really is not good for the agency or the profession or the officers who are going to get, bombarded with, accusations. So
I used to teach my guys, your mission is not to take the life. Your mission is to stop the behavior. However, the behavior stops. And once that behavior stops, you still have a human being in front of you that needs to be taken care of. Number one, it's just the right thing to do. But secondly, it's going to be on camera and you're setting yourself up and your agency up for all kinds of problems, protests and everything else. But,
you know, Dr. Schultz was talking about, when we were talking about the pit, Our sergeant that was the lead car in the pursuit, he had that bumper that protects the front end of the cruiser. It was a perfect vehicle to do a pit with. And then when he mentioned the bad leg, our bad guy had no door on the driver's side of the Jeep, and he had a prosthetic limb kind of hanging out and very invisible on the driver's side. That's what he was alluding to. So yeah, good breakdown, gentlemen.
But here's what I say. Why pit a Jeep when another mile, 2 miles is going to break down on the sun? Just let it go. Don't worry about anything.
You just won't let it go.
I think the sergeant might have thought, you know, if I pit this guy, it's going to be a fatality because he would not have survived a rollover or even going off the road.
Yeah. Well, good coverage, guys. Hey, look, we got another one. ABC7news.com. Belmont officer charged with rape. He had a 2017 domestic violence arrest in the and he was in the U.S. on a work permit. And this was actually submitted by subscriber Bill Van Rom, who's on the stream. So, Bill, thank you for sending this to, because I really, and it's a rarity, but I would not have been aware of the story had it not been for you, Bill. So the I-team has learned, this is Belmont, California. So remember, we're in California. The I-team learned that the Belmont police officer arrested for rape, that he had an arrest for domestic violence several years ago before he became a police officer, and that raising questions about whether he should have been hired by the Belmont Police Department in the first place. And they have new information on his previous arrest and his immigration status. The I-team confirmed that Felipe Gomez, that he's not a U.S. citizen, that he was had a work permit. He's been allowed to serve as a police officer in the state of California under a recent law signed by Governor Gavin Newsom. Thank you, Gavin Newsom. Just 4 months ago, Belmont Police Officer or Belmont Police Chief Ken Steinquist presented his new recruits, including a 35-year-old named Gomez. That's kind of old to be starting a police career. He was in the Brazilian Air Force and part of the Air Force Police, according to the chief. He was a full-time police soldier and left that position when he moved to the United States. He enjoyed practicing jiu-jitsu. It kind of sounds like, you know, it's a dating app, right? Attended church when he's not working. And it says that Redwood City Police arrested Gomez at the Belmont Police Headquarters. Before they hired Gomez, the I-team learned that Chief Stenquist received phone calls from the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office and East Palo Alto Police warning him that both agencies have rejected this guy because of his domestic violence arrest back in 2017. And it also says that the chief defended hiring Gomez, past law enforcement contact that does not result in charges or not disqualifying in and of itself under policies or applicable law, yada, yada. So that's where he went with that. Hey, guys, we're coming up for our third commercial break. And I know that I'm timing these perfectly. You guys are going to have to wait again to give commentary. Stick with us, guys. We're going to talk about the story. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about Captain Brett's favorite topic. It is GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett here on the show, or also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you're a chief or a sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that's gunlearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, we've got Chief Joel Schultz, Chief Chris Noller, and we've also got Captain Brett Bartlett on the show. Thank you guys so much. Now, the last story that we talked about, we're talking about a non-U.S. citizen working as a police officer in the state, in the beautiful state of California, and it is a beautiful state. But Governor Gavin Newsom signed a law, or signed a bill into law, where you don't have to be a U.S. citizen. And so, yeah, they got this guy. They hired him around 35 years old, and he had a domestic violence incident. Other agencies, at least two, called. This agency said, don't hire this guy. They did anyhow. And then he ends up getting arrested for rape. Commentary on this gentleman. He had a work permit, though.
You know, the last thing you just said, besides the work right before the work permit part, was that two other chiefs called this chief to tell him, I wouldn't hire this guy. And he still goes ahead and hires him. I don't know. I mean, doesn't mean two chiefs can't be wrong, and maybe they don't have something out for this guy, but, man, you got to listen to your peers when they're, because most chiefs are not trying to mess with other chiefs. And I certainly am not trying to call this chief out. I don't know what kind of other issues he's got going on that he felt he needed to hire this guy. I got to question hiring somebody that's got a domestic violence arrest, even though I understand what he's saying. It's not a conviction. It is a judgment problem. It should have at least resulted in him reading the report related to the incident. And I would think that if you can read the report and see that this, I think somewhere in there said that the spouse had a 2-inch bruise or something, like maybe it didn't give a large bruise on their face and some other injuries. I would have taken a hard pass on this guy just based on what I know in the article. Now, maybe there's some other factors I don't know about, but man, two chiefs calling me, telling me, hey, I wouldn't hire this guy. I'm probably going to look for somebody else to put in my uniform.
And you can clear this up, Chief Chris, but I think some chiefs would be hesitant to call another agency and say, don't hire that guy, worried about that guy will find out and maybe cause of action against them. So I think that speaks volumes that they would do that. I'm not so worried about the fact that the guy is not a U.S. citizen, although it concerns me a little bit. You can join the military if you have a green card. You can join the U.S. military. So, and it just indicates that people are going, you know what, I dig this place, I want to be part of this place, and I'm going to give you a little something back. The other side of me says, I wanted to be a U.S. citizen. I wanted to have a chip in the game. But how's that working out with the guy from New York that faked his own death? He was a U.S. citizen. Everything's fine with that guy. So I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air about that. But I think it should be case by case.
Chief Schultz?
Yeah, I think, Brett, you made a good point about sometimes the misguided secrecy about telling some bad information about somebody for fear of a lawsuit. I had a chief call me about an employee background. And my first statement was, is this a recorded line? And he said, okay, that's all I need to know. Thank you. But I think there's still people doing background investigations with half a dozen phone calls and a criminal history check. If you're not doing a little bit of a deep dive, you know, talking eyeball to eyeball, talking to secondary and tertiary resources, and how do you do a background check for somebody that's been in Brazil for 30 years? I don't know. If you can't verify something, you don't necessarily have to find something that excludes a person, but if you can't verify something, then take a pass.
Wow. That's a good point. Hey, and people that are watching the video portion of the show, if you see the background behind Chief Joel Schultz, there are people who will not recognize that backdrop they don't even know what Hill Street Blues was, you know, and the music, the theme music was awesome for Hill Street Blues. So, but that's where it's from. And he keeps us guessing. We never know. I mean, the other day it was Barney Fife and Mayberry RFD, and you know, anyhow, you never know what he's going to have in the backdrop. So
there was nobody on the streets in my town on Thursday nights when Hill Street Blues was on. We were down at the jail watching, and at the theme song is my ringtone, and sometimes I don't even answer the phone. I just want to listen to that.
Yeah,
it was my theme song for my wedding. We danced to that song. So,
and Jim, what did that sergeant say before everybody went through? And hey. Let's be careful out there.
Be safer. Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, look, we got time for one more story. There is a video component to this. So let's hop over to rumble.com. This is Butter again, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Conquered suspect charged with attempted murder after he was shot at when he points a gun at officers.
This is fucking ground. Spread out. Don't move. Don't move. Don't fucking move. Get your fucking hands up. Seven shots fired, pointed a gun at me. He's in the Big Wave laundromat parking lot.
Now, the two things that stand out from the story, the number of rounds that were fired were absolutely nobody got hit. And the gun the bad guy was carrying, it's a very special gun. He had it on his ankle. It's a big gun. I have this exact gun. It's a big gun. It is not a gun. And that's what took him so long to get it out of his ankle. So Concord, California. So yeah, we're back in California again. A man accused of pointing a gun at a Concord police officer while fleeing the traffic stop last month clearly reached for something at his ankle. Later, Pierce pointed at police, according to the department. Now, prosecutors last month, they ended up charging Eric Foreman. They charged him because he survived. He wasn't even hit. Eric Foreman, 37 years old, of Richmond, charged him with two counts of attempted murder and two counts of assault on a peace officer in the aftermath. And this all happened on April the 3rd. So he's still in jail at the Martinez Detention Facility. $4.4 million bail. Wow. So the police shooting, it did not injure anyone. According to police, Foreman did not fire any shots, but he tried. So in a statement released along with the officer's body cam video, and we also had surveillance video as well, police identified the two officers who fired at this guy as Officer Michael Kinnison and Officer Michael Schneider. Now, this all starts at 10:10 in the evening. Officer Kinnison tries to pull over a bad guy, Foreman, and at some point, Foreman, when he's going to stop his car, he actually hits a white van, and then he bails out of the car and he runs to an apartment complex. So we have the body cam of the officer. He actually, before he runs by this abandoned car, he looks in it to make sure there's not a bad guy. Man, what a smart veteran move. There's so many cops don't do that. And it's a huge safety factor. So I was so impressed to see that. And he's yelling to the guy, stop, stop. He draws his gun and he starts running after the bad guy. So they end up being into a parking lot of a PetSmart, and our bad guy's there trying to get standing up, bending over, trying to get something off his ankle. So Officer Kennison's camera shows our bad guy Foreman reaching down to his ankle, and he finally gets this gun out. It's a FN 5.7 pistol. It shoots that 5.7 by 2.8 millimeter round, and if they get the hot stuff, it's a armor piercing round. This bullet goes 3,000 feet a second, three times the speed of sound. I mean, this thing's a wicked bullet. It also shows the apparent barrel of the gun held high in the direction of the officer, and we have two still images from the same video showing him appearing to point it at the officer. So security video also shows the same thing and shows him pulling it out. So anyhow, there's a huge gunfire. So the apparently. The round shows imprint from the firing pin from the gun, but it didn't fire. So the bad guy tried to fire. You even see him as he's running away and they're unloading on him. It looks like he points it back and it looks like he was like he tried to fire at the officer. So he ends up getting away and then they find him again. And then our officer says, drop the gun. And our bad guy ignores commands again, apparently points it at that officer's direction. The officer takes cover behind his patrol car and he fires his weapon. And that gunfire happened before this bad guy runs to Sutter Plaza. So then we have two shootouts. Guy doesn't get hit. And security video shows the bad guy running. Anyhow, this all goes on and on. We got multiple cops involved. We get the pistol. They finally get this guy with the canine. And so the only injury he has is from the stupid canine bites. But that's what we have commentary on this video. It's not one you see every day, especially with that FN, Captain Bartlett.
And you said he tried to fire, but it didn't fire. That just indicates he's not taking care of that really, really fancy gun he's got. So yeah. At the end, right before the officer shot the bad guy, and we've talked about this a lot, at least I have, about why are we yelling commands? What commands are we yelling? What good do they do?
Yeah.
And you know, last time I was on, we had two shows where the officer said, drop the gun, drop the effing gun. No bad guy has ever said, oh, wow, you must mean it if you said it three times or four times. But I know it's hard not to talk when you're involved in these situations. But when your brain is trying to find words, it's taking some of the ability away to do these other cognitive things. So one of these days, let's do a study on this. Do words actually work? Why do we give commands? What structure do we give commands? Because adding the F word to the command doesn't make it any better than the other two prior.
So true. Another great show, gentlemen. I know we're running out of time. Chief Schultz, you've got a deal going right now where you're giving away 10 books if people contact you. Is that correct?
Still got some available. If you're an academy instructor or a rookie, say 3 years on the job or less, I will give you this book. Email me and I'll mail it to you.
I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Joel Schultz and Chief Chris Noller, Captain Brett Bartlett at Exumer Defense at exumerdefense.com. And I also want to mention the Wounded Blue at the woundedblue.com that's helping cops out that are in a world of hurt as well. Guys, a shout out to our sponsors. Please support them. Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Gullman.com, BlueTheGold.com, and Medicare.live. And also Tetco, the knife that Brett's holding up. And we're going to get to that in just one more second. But thanks to everybody. My Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, and TwoBells.com. And hey, we are still have another minute and 5 seconds. So Brett, hold that knife back up and show us what you got from Tetco. And
I tell you, I'm not impressed by knives a lot, but this, the one we got from Tetco, it's substantially heavily, but not overly heavily. And it's got a safety. So you, before you extend the blade, you do that and it comes up. It's coming out. You almost have to really hang on tight. And it's a really, and it just feels solid, and it's not $300 or $400 either. It's not like crazy expensive, but I'm kind of digging it. So thanks for getting that to me. All the cool kids are carrying this now.
TetcoKnives.com. That's the website. And that one, Brett Scott, is an out the side and the out the fronts as well. But if you're on the street, that's what you need to do, out the side, less maintenance. And it's always going to open up for you guys.